Let's take our Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11, if you please turn there, and Hebrews chapter 11, and we've been continuing through this book of Hebrews. And so far I've been challenged, my faith has been challenged. Particularly last week we dealt with the test, the evaluating test of faith. You know, I don't like my faith to be tested, but sometimes God will prod our faith and test our faith so that we realize where we are. That's what God will do. This evening, we're continuing in Hebrews chapter 11, and notice we find our place now in verse number 20. Again, we dealt with Abraham in verse 8 and talked about the call of Abraham. He was called to go to another land, and then we look at Abraham again in verse 17 through 19, and saw that God tempted him or tested him, tested his faith. And now we come to really the immediate lineage of Abraham, which is Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And notice Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 20. The Bible says, "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." Now, as we look at these three individuals, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, it is clear to us that those mentions are taken at the later time of their life, near their death. When did Isaac bless Jacob and Esau? When he was about to die. When did Jacob bless the sons of Joseph? When he was about to die. When did Joseph speak of his death and his burial? He says, "And I gave commandment concerning," notice, "his bones," of a future that when the children of Israel would leave the nation of Egypt, that his bones would be taken into the promised land. He said that as he was nearing his death. And I want us to consider, as we look at these men, I want us to consider this thought this evening. We see, as we continue in this this chapter of faith, we see here, when we read of these three men, the expectant confidence of faith. The expectant confidence of faith. Now, as we begin this chapter, we notice very clearly, as the Bible says, the just, as in chapter 10 says, the just shall live by faith. There is no other way for the just to live than to live by faith. And in chapter 11, in verse number 6, he says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." As believers, we have to understand that we cannot please God without faith. It is impossible. It is one thing for us to say, "Well, man, it's impossible to do this. I don't think you can jump that." It is one thing to say, for us, it is impossible, but it is another thing for God to say, it is impossible. And here we come, and we've been studying through this chapter. We looked first of all at Abel and the excellent sacrifice of faith. We went on to Enoch and talked about the exceptional walk of faith. We went to Noah and we saw the endeavoring work of faith. We talked about Abraham. We saw the enduring call of faith. We talked about Sarah and saw the effectual power of faith. Then we went on and talked about those that are mentioned there. We saw the evident pursuit of faith. And last week, as we continued to Abraham, we saw the evaluating test of faith. But faith, as we look in these three men, is expecting something from God. And therein lies, in our faith, the confidence in our lives and the confidence that these men had in their lives to be able to say before their death those things. And I want us to see here, what is all this rooted in? What is this expectant confidence of faith? What is that rooted in? We find that, I believe, in these verses. First of all, we see, as we consider, first of all, Isaac, we see, first of all, it is rooted in the Word of God. Now, notice verse number 20. By faith, Isaac, notice, he blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Now, we notice three things as we see that the expectant confidence of faith is rooted, first of all, in the Word of God. First of all, we see the opportunity of faith. The opportunity of faith. The Bible says, by faith, Isaac blessed. Now, we know that Isaac was Abraham's son. Abraham's son Isaac also demonstrated faith by passing down the blessing upon his two sons, Jacob and Esau. Now, these blessings were the promises of God made to Abraham and then given to Isaac, who was to give them to his sons. So you see, there's this faith and these promises that are being passed down. It shows that the opportunity in the life of Isaac to exercise his faith. This action on the part of Isaac demonstrated his faith. And may I say that as believers, as we are born again, we have opportunity to exercise our faith. But what is that rooted in? Was Isaac's confidence rooted in his father Abraham, or was it rooted in the promise of God that he made to Abraham? We see it was rooted in what God said, the promise that he made to Abraham. And we know the Bible says that Abraham was faithful in his house. Therefore, Abraham's testimony allowed Isaac to see something that was real and genuine in his life. Isaac was there when he experienced the test of faith. Remember, Isaac seemed, and we didn't talk a whole lot about it, but Isaac was completely submitted. Isaac, sometimes we think he was this 8-year-old boy or 12-year-old boy when his father was about to put him on the altar, but he was a 30-year-old man. Think about the submission it took in Isaac's life to say, "Go ahead." And allow his own father, who was an old man, no doubt he could overcome him, to allow his father to offer him as a sacrifice. So this faith that was in Abraham's life was passed down based on what? The promises of God. There is an opportunity. And may I say, we have the Word of God, and we all have opportunities to exercise our faith, but those opportunities are going to be rooted in the Word of God and His promise that He made to Abraham. Not only do we see the opportunity of faith, but we see, secondly, the opposition of faith. Now, notice the Bible says that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Now, this is very interesting because Jacob and Esau are two different individuals. By the way, you still see the consequences today of what took place during that time. They're still fighting against one another, Jacob and Esau. Jacob was to have the chief blessing and not Esau. Now, I want us to consider, because when faith is exercised and faith shows there's an opportunity to exercise our faith, there will be opposition to that faith. But notice to what the opposition will be to. It will be to the Word of God. Now, remember, if we go, let's go back to Genesis chapter 25 and go there. Genesis chapter 25. And I want us to notice a few verses that reveal to us that Isaac tried to, within the faith that he believed in the promises of God, he tried to pass the blessing upon the wrong son. He wanted the blessing to go to Esau, but the blessing was clearly to go to Jacob. Notice Genesis chapter 25, verse 23. "And the Lord said unto her," now this is Jacob's wife, or Isaac's wife, "two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder," notice, "shall serve the younger." It was announced by God Himself that the younger, the second born, now they were twins, but Jacob, who came second out of the womb, was the youngest. Esau was the first. He was the firstborn. Therefore, by natural definition, being the firstborn, he would be the heir of the blessing. But God announced it before the birth. He says it is not going to be Esau, it is going to be Jacob who's going to receive the blessing. It is not going to be the older, it's going to be the younger that's going to rule over the older. Now, I want us to consider, why is it then that Isaac tried to bless Jacob? Because that's what he was trying to do. Go to Genesis chapter 27, one page to the right. Notice Genesis 27, verse 1. "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, and such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison, and to bring it." Now notice he says, that my soul may bless thee. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Esau. God had announced that it was going to be Jacob who's going to receive the blessing and not Esau. Yet Isaac makes a decision because why? He loves Esau more than Jacob. Isaac was led by his fleshly appetite and therefore disobeyed the clear message from God. And may I say that that is what stands in opposition to the Word of God. If we're going to be a people that are expectant, in have an expectant confidence of faith, it must be rooted, it's going to be rooted in the Word of God and our opportunities, but the opposition will be this, to go against what the Word of God says. You see, Isaac, perhaps although he believed, right, because he wanted to pass down the blessing, but he had his preference in who to pass the blessing to. Therefore, God had to intervene. Now, Jacob is to blame because he was a deceiver and he took things into his own hands instead of leaving it in God's hands. But Esau despised the birthright while Jacob wanted it. But notice Genesis 27, we go down to verse 33. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed." You see here, Isaac recognizes in that moment as the Esau comes in after Jacob has already been there and received the blessing. Esau then comes in and Isaac said, "What do you mean? I've already blessed Esau." And said, "Esau, no, it's me." And he felt him. He says, "Look, I've been tricked." But he realizes here that I have already blessed him and he shall be blessed. He recognized right there and then that he had attempted to go against the Word of God, but God had set it straight. Isaac would not have bestowed the blessing had he not had faith in the divine promises. But his craftiness is trying to give them, and his craftiness in trying to give them to Esau instead of Jacob did not show faith, but his giving of the blessing did. But may I say that there is an opposition that comes about when we exercise our faith and we have the opportunity to exercise our faith, and that is when we oppose the Word of God. Opposing the Word of God is opposing faith itself in our lives and the work that it does in our lives. You see, God had to intervene. So the expectant confidence of faith is rooted in the Word of God. We see the opening of faith, the opposition of faith, but we also see, thirdly, the outlook of faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, notice chapter 11, in verse number 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, notice, concerning things to come. In other words, faith has great perception in that it can see the future. Faith stresses the hereafter. Faith focuses on heaven more than on earth. Faith has eternity in view and values everything from that standpoint in that person's life. Such outlook devalues what many highly esteem in this life. The outlook of faith, you see, this blessing was passed on concerning things to come. What was the promise? To Abraham, the promise was, through thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. We're speaking particularly of the lineage of Christ. That Christ would come through the lineage of Abraham, and that's been traced throughout the history of Israel. So Jesus Christ would come through that lineage, and through his death on the cross, would offer an opportunity for every single person in the world to be saved. And so when Isaac passes down the blessing to Jacob, that's what he has in view. Did he see the end of that promise? No. Did Jacob see it? No. Did Joseph see it? No. Did Ephraim and Manasseh saw it? No. It was years later. But they believed. You see, the outlook of faith is again rooted in the Word of God. So if we are going to have people that have an expectant confidence in our faith, then it must be rooted, our faith must be rooted in the Word of God. Number two, it must be rooted in the work of God. Now we see Isaac, but then we passed on in verse 21 to Jacob. The Bible says, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Now, I want us to consider Jacob for just a moment. Do you know what his name means? Trickster, conniver, supplanter. That's what the name Jacob means. Throughout his whole life, what did he do? He schemed his way through life, didn't he? And really, when he came to his father-in-law Laban, that was a pretty good match. Because all they did against one another is they scheme and they plan against one another, and it was quite a mess. But Jacob's life is described by this, taking his own life into his own hands and working his own way through life without God. That was Jacob. But according to this verse, the Bible says, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. So something had happened in Jacob's life. What happened? Well, it is rooted in the work of God. God did a work in Jacob's life. What is that work? Well, we see, first of all, as we consider this section, Jacob was the recipient of the patriarchal blessing and not Esau. We already saw that, which in this case included the divine blessing, which meant Jesus Christ would come through the descendants of Jacob. Therefore, it was his responsibility to pass that down to his sons. He passed it down to Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and we'll see that in just a moment. But I want us to consider several things about the faith of Jacob when we see the end of it. Because he's about to die. When he was a dying, he blessed the sons of Joseph. We see several things about the faith of Jacob. First of all, we see the strength of his faith. The Bible tells us that he blessed when he was a dying. May I say that faith does not depend upon good physical health. Jacob was dying, but was still strong spiritually. His physical body was giving out, but his faith was strong as it had ever been. What limits our work for God is not physical health so much as it is a lack of faith. And Jacob, as he was dying, blessed by faith the sons of Joseph. And may I say that physical health may alter your tasks, but it needs not alter your faith. Jacob was dying, but we see the strength of his faith in those dying moments. Not only do we see the strength of faith, but we see number two is the sight of faith. The Bible says that when he was a dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 48 for that. Genesis 48. Notice Genesis 48, and we'll be in verse 1. Genesis 48, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick, and he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee, and Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee in Egypt, are mine as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine." Now that's interesting. Jacob looks at the sons of Joseph, and they said, "I'm going to treat them just like my sons." Well, what does that mean? We'll go down to verse 13 of the same chapter, Genesis 48, verse 13. "And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh his head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn." Verse 15. "And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he shall also be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God, make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he said, Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die. But God shall be with you, and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorites with my sword and with my bow. Notice verse 20 again. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren. In other words, Joseph would receive double the blessing than all of his brothers would receive. Now, the blessing was passed on to every son. We have enumerated for us Jacob blessing all of his sons. And they would all multiply. But something takes place here where Jacob says, you're going to receive double the portion. I'm going to bless both of your sons, and both of your sons are going to be their own tribes. Now, this blessing meant that both of Joseph's sons would receive the patriarchal blessing. Both sons of Joseph were designated as one of the 12 sons of the tribes of Israel. Now, we know that because the tribe of Levi became the priestly tribe and was not counted with the other tribes. So, Joseph became two tribes with his two sons. He received double the blessing. May I say that when Jacob did that, that was the sight of faith? Perhaps did he know that the tribe of Levi would not be counted? No, he didn't know that. But he blessed both of them. There was a double blessing reserved for Joseph and his lineage. And may I say that that is the sight of faith? We see the strength of faith, the sight of his faith. But number three, we see the sincerity of his faith. As he pronounces the blessing on the two sons of Joseph, he says in Hebrews, notice chapter 11 in verse number 21, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and what did he do? He worshipped. There's two things that we see about his worship. The Bible says he worshipped. In other words, his sincerity is demonstrated in the fact that he worshipped. He worshipped the Lord right there. And then it says, not only do we see the fact that he worshipped, but number two, we see the fervency of his worship. He worshipped, notice, leaning on the top, upon the top of his staff. So his sincerity is demonstrated not only in the fact that he worshipped, but in the fervency of his worship. He was an old man, he was about to die, but yet he got up to worship God, leaning upon the top of his staff. The sincerity of faith. Now, the faith of Jacob is quite strong, we would say, at the end of his life. Because we see its strength, we see its sight, and we see its sincerity. But how did all that happen? You know how it happened? Because it was rooted in the work of God that Jacob accomplished, that God accomplished in Jacob's life. Well, what did God do in Jacob's life? Well, let's go to Genesis 32. Genesis 32. I know we're flipping there back and forth. But this is what we call Bible preaching. Genesis, notice, 32, verse 20. Let's pick it up in verse 24. So we see in life of Jacob that his faith was rooted in the work of God. That's why he was expectant, had an expectant confidence of his faith. Notice it was rooted in the Word of God. It was rooted in the work of God. As we see the strength of faith, the sight of faith, the sincerity of faith, but we see, lastly, the submission of his faith. In Genesis 32, verse 24, the Bible says, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now, let's stop here and consider Jacob, because up to this point, Jacob has been a conniver. He's been a deceiver. He's been a trickster. I mean, with his father Laban, with his own brother Esau, lying to his own father. I mean, everything that Jacob has done in his life has been in opposition to the things that are decent, right, and honest. And Jacob's testimony of his life so far is, I'm going to handle my own life, I'm going to take my own life into my own hands, and I'm going to show everybody that I can handle myself. And I don't need God. Until Genesis 32. And notice as we keep reading, verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now let me say here, Jacob is wrestling with God. You say, well, how can you say that? Because of what Jacob said. He called the place Peniel because, why? He had seen God face to face. Now, up to this point, Jacob in his life has been all about himself, all about deceiving and conniving. He did not need God. But then now, the Bible says that there wrestled a man with Jacob, and the Bible tells us that the man that was wrestling with Jacob was losing, and Jacob was winning. So get this, God and Jacob were wrestling. They had a wrestling match, and it was about who was going to be in control of Jacob's life. Was it going to be Jacob, or was it going to be God? And so far as they're wrestling, Jacob is winning, and God is losing. In verse 26, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. Now we see that God was losing, so he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So notice here, God was losing, Jacob was winning, so God touched the hollow of his thigh. He made Jacob a cripple. You know what that did in Jacob's life? Now all of a sudden changes where now Jacob is begging for God not to leave. He has got a hold of God, and the Bible says, and he said in verse 26, let me go for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Do you see the transition here in this wrestling match where now God has got the upper end? God is about to leave because Jacob doesn't want God in his life. But now that Jacob is crippled, guess what? He's about to meet Esau and he can't run away. Therefore, he needs God. And the work that God had to do in Jacob's life, he had to get Jacob to the place where he had to cripple him for Jacob to realize that he needed God. And God will do the same in our lives. Many times He'll work in our lives to cripple us, to help us to realize that we need Him. That it's not about being deceivers and connivers in our lives. We need God. So Jacob had to get to the place of what? He had to get to the place of submission to God. Now notice what happens. Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. For the first time in Jacob's life, he wants God to bless him. Before that, he was blessing himself. But now he wants God to bless him. Notice verse number 27. He said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Now, did God not know Jacob's name? Yes, God knew Jacob's name. But God wanted Jacob to know his name. His name means supplanter, conniver, trickster. So can you imagine when God asked Jacob his name, Jacob had to say, I'm the trickster, I'm the conniver, I'm the supplanter. He wanted Jacob to recognize who he was. But notice what he says. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Now the question is, was he prevailed? No, he was losing. He was crippled, and he saw his need of God. And therefore, when God recognized that Jacob saw himself as needing God, now God says, you've prevailed. And your name is not going to be Jacob anymore. Your name is going to be Israel. Because as a prince with God, you've prevailed. Jacob recognized. He asked him in verse 29 and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. For the rest of Jacob's life, he would be crippled. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews that at the end of his life, before his death, he worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff because he was a cripple and he needed God. And so we ask ourselves, how was Jacob able to be so confident in his expectation of his faith? Why was he so confident in his faith? Because of the work that God did in his life. Gee, can you imagine the grandchildren running around the house and say, Grandpa, why are you limping? What happened? I'd imagine that Jacob had to tell them the story. Well, let me tell you. For a while in my life, I was living my own way, doing my own thing. God's blessing was passed on upon my family, and I despise it. I kind of lived my own way. I was a conniver, a supplanter, a deceiver. But then God showed up, and He did a work in my life. And for the first time in my life, I realized that I needed God. And I've been leaning on God ever since. You know what that staff represents? That staff represents Jacob's dependence upon God. Why was Jacob so confident in his faith? Because he was dependent upon God based on the work that God did in his life. So we see, as we consider the expectant confidence of faith, that is rooted in the Word of God as seen in Isaac. It is rooted in the work of God as seen in Jacob. But lastly, we see that it is rooted in the will of God. Notice in verse 22, if we go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. The Bible says, "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." Now we're dealing with Joseph. So we have Isaac. He was confident in his faith because of the Word of God. Jacob was confident in his faith because of the work of God. And here we see Joseph's confidence. And notice, it is rooted in the will of God, but we see, first of all, the perseverance of faith. Again, Joseph, when he died. Now, these men are described to be older men, ready to die. And so this is at the end of their lives. But notice, I can't help but think about the strength of their faith, the perseverance of these men's faith. Joseph, like Isaac and Jacob, mentioned in these verses, demonstrates faith at the end of his life. And may I say that having faith at the end of their lives reminds us that faith is not something to have just during the good years of our lives. But it is good also to have in our declining years. The approach of death does not dismiss or diminish the worth of faith. It enhances it. At least it ought to. And so we see all these men's faith, we see the perseverance of their faith. Why? Because it was rooted in the Word of God, in the work of God, but in the will of God as well. So we not only see the perseverance of the faith, but we see also the patience of faith. Now, Joseph says something interesting here. He says, when he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. Joseph gave commandment, again, concerning his bones, not his body. We'll see that in just a moment. But this meant that this time would expire before Israel would go back to Palestine. Joseph knew that the promise was the promised land that he had promised to who? Abraham. It has been passed down to every generation. And the generation would go back to the promised land at once. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 24, the Bible says, "Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into a land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence." In Genesis chapter 50, verse 26, the closing verse of Genesis chapter of the book of Genesis, "So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." He said that he made commandment concerning his, what? Bones. Not his body. You know what that means? It would take a while. It would take a while. Now, we know the Egyptians at that time did a very good job of embalming. Therefore, his statement, and in other words, in preserving a person's body. So therefore, his statement shows great patience. He spoke of the bones. His bones would be taken to the promised land. That's the patience of faith. So when we consider Joseph, we see not only the perseverance of faith, the patience of faith. And may I say, this is Joseph who we're speaking of. You know, we know the track record. Through all the difficulty and the false accusation and the imprisonment and the hatred of his brothers, maybe the history helps him with the perseverance and the patience of his faith. But we see, lastly, the preference of faith. The Bible says he gave commandment concerning his bones. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 25, it says, "Carry up my bones from hence." In other words, Joseph believed Israel would one day return to the land of Canaan, the land God had promised them. When they returned, Joseph wanted his bones carried there. He did not want to be buried in Egypt, but rather in the land that God had promised him. Joseph could have, think about, because of his position, he could have had an elaborate funeral in Egypt and have been buried in a famous pyramid. He could have. But he preferred to be buried in the land that God promised. That's the preference of faith. You see, faith prefers God's promises than the prestige of the world. And when we think about these men, I can't help but see the expectant confidence of their faith. What was that rooted in? It was rooted in the Word of God, the work of God, and the will of God. Do you know that it is the same today for our faith? What is it that's going to make us, as these men in our faith, have an expectant confidence in our faith? It is going to be rooted in the Word of God, in the work that God does in our lives, and in the will of God for our lives. You see, these men were able to say on their deathbed, if you will, these are the promises. God will fulfill those. And that's why they said such things. Our faith, as we grow as Christians, ought not to wane. It ought to grow. It ought to flourish. To get to the point in our lives, as these men did, through the Word of God, the work of God, and the will of God. And then they basically had to recognize, based upon everything that we've seen in our lives, God is true, and His promises will come true. Let's ask the Lord to help us. May our confidence be rooted in His Word, His work, and His will.